15 to 20 million.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we proudly serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio, and people can tune in from anywhere in the USA simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. As always, I ask that you contact family and friends and invite them to tune into 860, and if they live outside of our broadcast area, tune in to the front page and just click on the Listen Live link. Well, if you received our email this morning, also forward that to a family or friend, because that's how our list of people interested in American Made has continued to grow year after year. And I'm proud to say wherever I go, people know us, they understand what we're trying to do, they appreciate what we're trying to do. And they, I believe, are the people who are concerned about America and its future. We'll be talking about that today. I want to first thank Mark Indel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, National Small Business Advocate, Rich Loges, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, Curtis Ellis of the American Jobs Alliance and the America First Project. And our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am very happy to be with you as your host, Michael Blihash. Thanks for stopping me in my travels at the various festivals and events, which we'll have many of them during the month of December. I look forward to meeting you and yours. Well, tomorrow, Americans will celebrate Thanksgiving, and all of us in the Blihash family want to take this opportunity to wish you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving. And I'd like to encourage you to promote efforts like the Buy American Made campaign during the Thanksgiving holiday. It is not a political movement. It is a patriotic campaign. So everybody, no matter the party or where they live, can certainly be very appreciative of helping businesses thrive, workers keep their jobs, and of course, move America forward. Another effort that we've been handling for the last month is November as American Made Month. It's really helped bring attention. And I want to say a special thank you to all of the radio broadcasters, especially our weekend broadcasters from several states that have been putting up my commentaries during November and throughout the year. It really helped us to get the word out to the people. That's really what it's all about. So please do spread the word about our movement, Thanksgiving Day. And then this coming Friday, the 29th, is Black Friday, another opportunity to seek out as much American made that you can find on the market. As we said a million times, the merchandisers, the national merchandisers, don't like our movement because it takes away money, big profits from their paychecks and their bank accounts. And we're looking to help people and employees, not just people in the merchandising, bringing the stuff over from foreign countries. Also, another very important project is happening this Saturday, November the 30th, is Small Business Saturday. It's a national event to support America's small businesses. And by the way, we were one of the first radio programs that promoted Small Business Saturday when it first started back in November 2010, when that was instituted by American Express. And a lot of people from other credit card companies were not too crazy about pushing the American Express idea, but we pushed it. And of course, as an answer 9 years ago to the National Small Business Weekend, we introduced our version of National Small Business Weekend, the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month. That was back in 2014. So we've been doing a lot of good things through our broadcast. And that was done mainly so that businesses would just not have a place to focus on themselves and their credit cards and their items. But every weekend of the month, they do something. And I really am pleased and grateful to some of the store groups, the business groups that are doing things now, Friday out, Saturday night, weekend out. This is all part of the National Small Business Weekend campaign, and I cannot tell you how pleased I am to see that. So whenever you stop with family and friends, please urge them to help. And now that the holiday season is in full swing, I urge you to go the extra mile, the extra minute, to take a good look at the labels on the products to see exactly who you're supporting, and maybe we can do better. With that all in mind, I would now like to turn to our great panel members. And today's open forum, I want to hear everything that is on your mind. Something riled me up this morning. They were interviewing some students, and they were interviewing about two things. Who are the pilgrims? And I hate to say it, many of them, 10th and 11th and 12th graders, one thought it was a team, a basketball team. And the another one said, the pilgrims, I don't know, where do they live? Is that some family in the neighborhood? They had no idea who the pilgrims were. And they said, what do you know about the impeachment? And they said, oh, everybody in Washington's trying to impeach Trump. So I said, well, it's a current issue, so they know that. But anything with historic, they have no idea what it is. Well, let's turn first to Curtis Ellis. Curtis, how you doing, guy?
I'm just great, thank you. So nice to be here with wonderful people, the panel, the audience, true patriots, people who do know the history of America and love it. I was talking to my someone I know, let's just put it that way, and I said, you know, America's the greatest country on earth. And they said, is it? And there's no question. And I'm sure if you lived in France, you'd say France is the greatest country on earth. And if you lived in Italy, you'd say that about Italy. There's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with believing that. I met somebody that I'm sure Mark Andel knows and or knows of, and we all need to know of him, and that is Tony Maglica. He is the founder, owner, inventor of the Maglite, a Maglite flashlight, which is made in America. I was backstage in the green room at Fox Television and waiting to go on and to talk about China, and who's there but Tony Maglica. I'd never met him. He's approaching 90 years old, and he's very proud to make his Maglite here in America, here in Ontario, California. And we were talking, and he said he could make thousands more a day. The only thing that's standing in the way is imports from China. And I tell you, this guy, I didn't have to convince him. He was telling me, I want to get those SOBs in China. They are cheating and stealing, and they're destroying our country with all these imports and this their predatory trade. He's a great guy. He was born in Manhattan. When he was 3 months old, his mother went back to Croatia with him. He still has an accent, and lived through the war. He lived under fascism. He lived under communism, and he came back here with $100 in his pocket after the war, and now he's a multimillionaire. He spent $150 million in 1 year just defending his patents against infringement. So this guy knows how to make money, and he knows that this is the greatest country on earth. It's the only place you could do that, do what he's done. And it's a shame to just let it go by and go away because we forgot about it. We forgot what it's about. We forgot what it stands for. And sure, don't always live up to what it stands for, but who does? I mean, you show me a person who ever lives up to their ideals 24/7, every minute, every second of the day. No, we're all sinners. We all ask to be forgiven on a regular basis. That doesn't mean we're bad people. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us and that we're not capable of loving God. And remember, there's two hands of God. There's justice and there's mercy. And mercy is forgiveness. Justice is doing the right thing. And mercy is forgiveness when we don't do the right thing. So, for these people, too many of the young people, what they're being indoctrinated with in college is just all the bad things, all the things we've done wrong in America and in Western civilization and in the history of mankind. You can go back to when we crawled out of the swamps or when we came down from the trees, and you'll find that we've been doing wrong things all along. But that doesn't mean you should commit suicide. So
yes, you know, you're right. You're right there. And he is absolutely right with that maglite. You know, when we've been watching these people slowly creep all of our businesses that mean something, the day-to-day products that you and I pick up on a regular basis, once a month, once a year, they've taken over all those industries, taken them over, and they're sending them back here proudly. What they send back here that's worth a dollar, Americans are paying $10 for, and that's where the disgrace of it is. It's not the Chinese only. It's the merchandisers here in America that are screwing the people to the cross. I mean, I argue with them all the time. I say to them, well, if I would like to feature that product, how much could I get it discounted? Oh, I'll get it to you 50% of what it's listed on the thing. I said, is that really? And they say, yes, we can do it. Sometimes we're having an event and we need a lot of items to give away or whatever. They make all kind of deals. But when you look at where it's coming from, it's not an American-made product. It's a foreign-made product. So they're able to pull these kinds of deals. What our whole thing is, if you're going to pay for an item for $10 and it's foreign-made, you know immediately that somebody in between is making a big profit. Why can't we fix it so and continue to move as we're moving now? Let's get the product to market for $6, and we have to pay the same $10, and we give the people on the retail end some money. But the way it is now, it comes in off the container, goes to our stores, and our people are left. It is changing, I must say. It is changing, and even some of the greeting cards that I've been seeing where it was made in China, I'm seeing a huge amount made in America, and that's what I like to see. And that's what has to happen with all of our day-to-day items. Mark, do you know this gentleman with the flashlight?
Yes. How you doing, guys? Mike, Rich, Curtis. Larkin, Henry. Henry's one of my favorite shoppers now. All the team supporting Henry's on madeinamerica.com. Thank you, Henry.
Yay!
Henry's a believer. Curtis, great flashlight, maglite. Tony, down at the Indianapolis show, they had a booth and some items. That's been an awesome flashlight. Rubber O-ringed, waterproof, forever. great product. And I'm so glad you got to meet him. And I didn't know his age, you know, at that point, but
I told him about your store, and his PR guy was there too, and he said he's been having to argue. I couldn't believe this. He's having to argue with the company, not with Tony, but with the other executives that are running the show, that he has to argue with him about the PR guy says, you know, it would be really great if we featured the fact that this is made in America. That's a selling point, and people will want to buy it. And I said, you're right. As a matter of fact, there's this guy, Mark Andel, and he's got all these stores, and he's doing a great job.
You know, because my buyer, Rob's, worked with the team, too, and there was that shouldn't be, why would you not? That's the great marketing tool, and if you can buy a better flashlight, similar or less price, that's made in America. Again, but a maglite's always been my favorite hunting tool flashlight, just a beautiful tool, aluminum, but waterproof, and always been a top-notch light. Everybody should have one. But, you know, guys, this is the time of season for retailers. It's Wednesday. First, happy Thanksgiving to all of you and to our listeners. Coming up, great time to get together. It's also hunting season up here, so everybody's kind of doing their thing, and just a great time to get together all around. But we've got Black Friday coming up Friday, and then we've got Small Business Saturday, Mike, that you mentioned, then Cyber Monday. But from Black Friday to Christmas, there's 26 shopping days. A lot of people don't realize that. It was 31 last year, so we've lost some because of the relationship where Thanksgiving falls into the holiday season. But it is everything for the retailer. So, you know, our listeners, our team, when you shop, make it an all-American Christmas. Make it an all-American holiday. I'm not afraid to say Christmas. I'm a believer. So, you know, you've got it. But 26 days is really the time to shine. So our team's been busy, Mike, as you know. And, you know, it's the time to set the stores and to really get going, because you make a lot of the money or bring in the money that's got to support you the other, you know, 10 months, 11 months of the year. And it retail's a tough animal. It's fourth quarter is everything. But Cyber Monday, you got to say a lot of statistics out. 83% of Americans are shopping online now, so the brick and mortars are having a tough time. We've got 7 brick and mortar stores. It's hard. A lot of people like to go touch and feel. They may do that once, but they like to shop online. Amazon's our enemy, but also we use them. But we've got to all compete with the new world, the new market, and how people shop in today's age. So we're always adjusting. But for the listeners, it's a huge time to go out there. But you want to make a difference. Pick up that product. See if it's made in America. If it is made in America, buy it, because you're supporting everyone, especially our veterans. You don't have to sell this idea to a veteran. It's not a political idea. It should be a national agenda. And, Mike, I think we've done a great job, our team. So I'd like to thank everybody on this holiday season. But a lot going on, Mike. This is our time to shine as a retailer.
Absolutely. And, Mark, and everybody else, I want to just say, America's businesses who are proudly listing products that are made or assembled here in the USA are depending on all of our business. I'd like to see a lot more of the stuff sold online have a little notation that it is made in America.
Absolutely.
And, Mike, the reason they don't want to do it, Mark, is because it's such a small amount that it makes it look very strange. And then there was an argument. I had somewhat of a discussion with a merchandiser, and he said, well, so what am I supposed to do, sir? Am I supposed to put an American flag on the American, put a Chinese flag on the American, a Japanese flag? I said, why not? Why yeah. not? Tell me why not.
Yeah, you know, and Mike, through the years, you know, our Made in America symbol, our intellectual properties, became the good housekeeping seal. Once they knew who I was, our team was, we're consistent, we educate, we raise awareness with our message. And just that symbol, when you see the Made in America symbol on a product, we got it on a back, if it's whatever, that stands for quality. That tells the consumer you're getting a product that's 100% made in our country. Now, can everybody be 100%? No. You know, it just can't. That's our concept. That's our core value. That's who we are. But the more American you buy, the more you support this country that you live in. And it is doable. We've proved it. You just got to go out there and do it. Put a little extra effort to support the country you live in. And it is for our children's future. Don't make no mistake about it.
That's right.
It's all about our children's future.
And American businesses are now looking to grow in America like I have not seen in the past. In fact, the unemployment in America is so low right now, based upon all the additional people that have come to America legally and illegally over the years. America's employment is at its top. We've never seen this many people, 330 million people, and this low level of employment. Quite honestly, it's a historic fact that has to be promoted. Yet we're listening to all nonsense in the media and not the real good news. It's like thrown in once in a while. But
yeah,
the real good news is that our businesses are starting to thrive in the USA. We've only brought back $1 trillion of the dollars that were located outside of the country. And that's because the merchandisers that are pushing the foreign stuff are really fighting it, because they know the day the businesses move to America is the day their cookie train is over.
And Mike, I want to bring up last week, I believe it was, when Donald Trump met with Tim Cook from, you know, Apple, the iPhone, and it was unbelievable. That's a huge thing because the glass on the iPhone's made in Corning, New York, and parts of it, but it's made over in China. And he's saying he's bringing every, you know, the phones back because of the tariffs. And Curtis, you'd love this. But then the lady interviewing, well, but what if they go up 10%? Tim Cook said, I didn't say they're going up. I said, we're bringing the work back. We're building the plants here. And even David Muir, you know, I liked him, but I didn't like the comments because here you've got Tim Cook bringing the iPhone manufacturing back to the United States of America, and they're kind of downing it. They ran the Made in America store show when we opened in April 3rd, 2010. They called me to see if people really like it. And you're going to down this move by our president?
Yes, in fact.
It's incredible. It made me, it disgusted me. In World News, I tape and watch. It was to a point going, wow, do we got a fight ahead of us, guys?
Oh, yeah.
If Tim Cook is bringing iPhones back and they've got a problem with it?
Yeah, I mean, Mark, you know what's really insane about the whole deal is right now we are looking at phones. Maybe a few pieces of the item is made in America. But if you can produce the whole thing A to Z in America, why shouldn't you expect to pay another $100? Most of the phones are rented over a period of years. Make sure the American people, not only the stockers and the salespeople, are getting the job, but everybody in between.
Yeah, but in this particular interview, because Trump's name was in it, they were going to down this.
Well,
and it shows you how it's the the media's owned. It was just incredible to me. You got the iPhone coming back to America. Let's celebrate now.
Well, I'll be happy when it
and
is.
And I want Curtis's opinion on this, because it was a huge, I think, mistake on the World News. They were actually arguing against it.
Yeah, it is
you
incredible.
Catch that, Curtis?
You hit the nail on the head, Mark, because Trump's name is involved with it. They've got to be against it.
If that didn't show anybody anything, what's going on to me?
Well, the only thing I can say is that
Tim replied, I'm not saying I'm raising it 10%. I may not have to.
Well, the only thing I can say is if somebody tells me unemployment has reached an all-time low, I'm really pleased. Another thing that I'd like to see addressed, and I've discussed it already with some people in the cities and the counties, and that is homelessness. It's very discouraging. And during Thanksgiving, we have to think of all the groups that are doing great things to address the homelessness. But there is a tremendous amount of people, especially veterans, who are out there, who come back from combat, who are not themselves, who don't want to go into any kind of environment. I even suggested that we maybe have shelters during the night and job training programs during the day for these veterans, because somebody laying on the street or begging on the street, that's going nowhere. If we push, you know, the idea of having a job training program, maybe that veteran, maybe that homeless person will be able to come back to some level of himself as they were in the past. I know that some people say it's a mental point. Yes, it's true. Working in human services, it's definitely 25% mental. The others have had traumatic experiences, and we can take away that traumatic experience by getting them into job skill type programs. That's why I know that it works. I've seen people who have been in really bad shape go to a job training program, and I could see them 6 months or a year later, and already there's a different aura about that person. They feel of value. Their human potential is being realized, and that's the most important thing that we can do in this new process of employment in America. We need workers. We need workers of every level. I see here in our own Philadelphia area, people are jumping from one job to another job. People who were postal people are now going into inside jobs because postal people are outside. They got to walk. There is a shortage of everybody in the market. They may not be the highest paying jobs, but it's a start. It's a start. And let's look at it actually in that way. How is Rich Loges doing?
Morning to everybody. I want to first, Michael, thank you and Henry for helping to put this show on every week. It's a great honor and a privilege to be here. It gives me practice for all my propaganda. And as we heat up, 10 warning signs your child is becoming a Democrat, how to make America grown up again. It's heating up, Michael. Last night, I was at the president's rally in Sunrise. There were approximately 20,000 people inside, another 5,000 or so outside. As I commented, Curtis, to someone inside, we got 20,000 to show. Joe Biden is lucky if he gets 20 to show up to Iowa, and when they do, he thinks he's in New Hampshire. So, and again, I wish no ill will toward the former vice president. I don't. I really don't. I just think someone needs to intervene before he forgets to turn the oven off. But I do want to say, but having said all that, I'm going to do something that I don't often do. It's not to say I never disagree with the president, but I want to make a statement, Michael, and everyone can contribute their opinions on this. I have to give a forewarning, Curtis, for our side leading into the election next year. We sound an awful lot like the Democrats did in 2016. Landslide. We're going to win 48 states. We got this. What's for dinner? That's what the Democrats said, Curtis, in 2016. Remember when candidate Clinton screamed into the camera on CBS News and she asked, why am I not up 50 points, you might be asking? I hear a lot of that talk on our side, and I think it's not only premature, I don't think it's correct. If we want to expect to win big, that's great, Michael. A great team is confident. A great team expects to win big, but a great team plays scared. A great team plays urgent. A great team knows that to win big, you have to outfight, outwork, outscratch, outclaw the opposition. That's why we're going to earn our audio engineer Henry's vote. He's a swing voter in a swing state. We're going to make sure that our swing voters are not feeling like they're taken for granted. But it's just my opinion, Curtis. We're sounding a little bit too much like the Democrats did in 2016, and we all know how that ended for them.
Yeah, I agree. I hear you. We can't take anything for granted. Over at America First Policies, we've been doing a lot of analysis and whatnot, and we are registering more voters. We've identified that there are millions and millions of Trump supporters who did not vote in 2016 and are not even registered to vote. Amazingly, that rally you went to is an example of what we have found. There is a huge, and I mean double-digit percentage of people who have attended Trump rallies who are not registered to vote. So, Rich, we've got to get those people, get them registered, and get them to come out and vote. That's how we're going to win.
You're so right about this. Guys, listen to what Curtis is saying. Mark, Larkin, Michael, Henry, everybody, our listeners. I am publishing an article next week, and the title of the article is A 2020 Landslide is the GOP Unicorn. And I actually break down the data just on how close we were to actually losing in 2016, Curtis. When you actually look at the data, I know there's narrative. Look, I understand that there's political narrative. There's the sales pitch of politics. Politics is a business. Politics is sales. So there's the marketing. But the campaign looks at the data. And I broke down the data. I have studied the 2016 data probably as much as anybody who doesn't actually work in the electoral politics business. And I am going to show you guys. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to show you just how close actually we were to losing in 16. And the identical advantages that Clinton enjoyed, whomever the Democrats nominate next year, that Democrat is going to enjoy identically the same benefits, Curtis. Let me be very clear, and I'll close at this point. As we head in, right, campaign season starting up, Hillary Clinton received 85% of the electoral votes she needed to be president from 19 states in Washington, D.C. 85% came from 19 states in Washington, D.C. I'm going to show everyone that there were three combinations that Clinton, if she had gotten just one of three, she wins. But what's amazing is we won all three combinations. And if people think 2016 was difficult, buckle up, because it's going to be even harder next year to win this. And I know Republicans, Michael, don't want to hear that, because we don't want to work either, right? We don't want to work. Oh, landslide? Great. I don't need to do anything. No, 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 no. It's going to be even harder, Curtis, for us to win this. How could that be, Rich? The economy. Record lows in black poverty. Deregulation, $40 billion. We're getting countries to finally pay for military aid. We're getting it. The president went to ground zero of globalism as a nationalist at the United Nations. Rich, how could that be? That's the reality of our electoral landscape, Curtis, right now. I yield the floor to Larkin. Thank you, Michael.
Larkin, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful, Mike.
And are you getting ready for the Thanksgiving table? Once before, I mentioned to you about promoting American made, and you said, I'm afraid I'll get hit on the head with a Thanksgiving table piece of meat or something, a wing or whatever. Do you remember that?
Well, yeah, I am the, but it's been this way my entire life. I was one of those nerdy guys that went down with a fistful of quarters or nickels or dimes or whatever it was at the time, long, long, long time ago. And all my friends would buy Clark bars and candy, and I'd buy a Newsweek. And they all thought I was a little on the weird side. So that when, as a senior in high school, I declared that I was effectively, from this point forward, a Republican, that made me a little different than an Irish Catholic family. And that difference sustained itself until today. I'm fortunate to say that my oldest son is a moderate, and occasionally has a big government sucks attitude. I sit at the end of the table and people throw stuff at me. So I am ready for Thanksgiving. You know, I wanted to say to you and Henry and to Mark, who is the best spokesman we could possibly ever ask for, and to Rich and to Curtis and to our listeners, I take Thanksgiving time as an opportunity to thank all of you very, very much for allowing me to be a part of this movement and allowing me to be able to count you all amongst my friends. I do it almost every week. I'm very thankful, especially at my age, for what I have, what I've attained, and how well I have been treated as an American down through the years. But thank you to each and every one of you for counting me as one of your friends, I hope, and for standing as strongly behind the movement as you do. I wanted to say to Curtis, Tony Magg, the flashlight guy, it's a good thing he's a multimillionaire, because if he was a billionaire, we all know what list he would automatically be put on as a bad guy that has successfully founded a company and earned $1 billion. He would be on that frightening list of people who can't stand America and are the bane of our existence. And if we could get rid of all the billionaires, we'd all be a much happier and more secure country. I don't know where that thought process comes from, but thank goodness that Tony Magg is only a multimillionaire and not a billionaire. I'd also like to say, and I want to say this very concisely, if we've got homeless veterans and they have problems, the monkey is on their back as much as it is on ours. I have never seen anything like I have in the last 24 months. The escalation of appreciation for our veterans. Every ounce of it is deserving. There are so many programs out there and so many people that are willing to help that we need to lift up the veterans and hand them a business card and say, go here and get some education. Go here and get some psychiatric help. Go here and find a good job. The opportunities are out there. I don't know how much more we could possibly do in this country for our veterans. A maximum amount is still not enough. But let's call it a spade a spade. If they're really, really struggling, it's because they haven't looked.
Well, it's a good point, Larkin, and you are correct. However, there are many people that are so independent-minded, you have a hard time getting them into any kind of a program. I can tell you myself, working in human services, I've tried to convince people for 8 and 10 years to take advantage of just the property tax rebate program, and I just couldn't do it until they really hit where they were losing a lot of their money from their savings and all, that they decided I better start taking advantage of this because my health is good. I'm still able to take care of my home, and I could use that rebate. The veterans, with unemployment so low and employers of every type looking for quality employers, I think the Veterans Administration and all the school districts should do something to get the people involved in this shelter program as well as some kind of skills program during the day. It's something that we haven't done in this country that I know of in many, many years.
Well, listen, we've come a huge distance in our help for veterans in the last 18 to 24 months. We've come a huge distance, and we need a point of coordination to pull it all together. But we can't be critical of the system. The system has responded. People have responded. Wounded warriors. I get something every day in the mail, and I open every bit of it, and I help the way I can from veterans organizations that are helping our wounded warriors. And I applaud it. I absolutely applaud it. But I hesitate to be critical of the system because I think America has risen to the challenge.
Well, also, Larkin, it's not only the veterans. I hate to say, even some of our high school graduates, seeing the new economy and seeing that through the high school years, they have not been educated to what's needed by modern day employers. They are also, if you have some family difficulties and you are left on your own, these things are all problems for a person. But if you have a program, we don't want to just keep throwing money at a problem, throwing money to you to get into some kind of a food stamp program or a shelter or whatever, but a shelter where you're going to have job possibilities. We have a lot of programs in the city that could be expanded. We just had the Veterans Parade in Philadelphia the first weekend of November. It was the Philadelphia Veterans Parade. One of the services provided to homeless veterans was giving them a free haircut. That is part of the factual thing that they did during that day. There are just some very independent veterans who don't want to be there to take advantage of the system. They don't want to be looked at, oh, I'm taking advantage. They have to be urged. But if you're urged to take advantage of the system and you're often offered a job training program, I think it would really help a lot.
Michael, can I interject for
yes,
a moment, please?
Sure.
Okay. Again, a discussion I had last night with many at the rally. So there's two ways of looking at what I'm about to say. The first way is to say, thank you, President Obama, or that's just a coincidence. And the other way, the second way, is to look at it and say, oh, there's direct cause and effect. There's causation. So it is not, in my opinion, Michael, it is not coincidental that since 2016, end of 16 into now, there are about 6.7 million new jobs created. Approximately 80% of those, give or take, about 80% of those are minority jobs. And that's just not including Black Americans. That's women, Hispanics, etc. But there are minority jobs that have been created, about 80%. That's an unprecedented rate. That rate has never occurred before. It is not coincidental that as those jobs have been increased in certain demographics, Black poverty, for example, is now at a record low. In fact, it keeps breaking a record low record and then breaks the record again. It is not a coincidence that that is happening, because the best, perfectly imperfect way, Michael, to elevate people economically into higher income brackets is to have a vibrant and thriving small business, but overall broad economy. So if you believe it's just a coincidence, then you probably have the Communist Manifesto on your nightstand for nighttime reading. Or you have our side, Curtis, which says, no, actually, it's direct cause and effect that as the economy has made gains, certain demographics have seen gains, poverty levels in some of those demographics have been decreasing and plummeting to record lows. Now, we still have work to do, Michael. That's why we need Henry on board, because he's a swing voter in a swing state. There's still a lot of work that has to be done. What's actually really sad about the entire economic narrative in the country is I probably agreed with President Obama. You could probably count on one hand, Michael, the amount of times I agreed with President Obama in 8 years, but never for a singular second did I root and wish for an economic recession so we could oust President Obama out of office with a recession. Never did I ever do that. And yet, Mark, you were talking earlier about the president visiting the Apple facility. I have no doubt if you hooked up a lie detector test to the vast majority of Democrat voters in the DMIC Democrat media industrial complex and you asked them, hey, look, I know you may not maybe want a recession deep down, but if it happened and we got him out, would you be okay with that? Yeah, I'd be okay with that, Mark. Yeah, I wouldn't like it, but if it gets the job done, let's do it. That's the reality, Michael.
Absolutely. You know,
that's the fact. That's a reality, what I'm saying.
Well,
that there's an actual movement. There's an actual narrative movement to wish for an economic recession, harms who?
Yes.
Let me get back to my original comment. My original comment is to be extremely thankful on this great holiday to all of the organizations, to the government, to the veterans organizations, to everybody who has made life better for the returning veterans in this country. Do we have more work to be done? In any simple category I could bring up, we have more work to be done. But they have done wonderful work. I, unfortunately, am an age that I remember what a returning soldier came back to after the Vietnam War. I remember that they had to APO into San Francisco and get out of their uniforms immediately so that people wouldn't spit on them and throw stuff at them. So I know where veterans come from. I know where their problems have been. And I applaud every organization that has stepped up to the plate and has brought this forward and done a great job. More to be done. None of it's overkill. Veterans deserve every ounce of it. But it's very hard for me to criticize these organizations that have worked so hard to get where they are to make life better for veterans organizations. And that brings me to my closing point. And this is where I think this chasm between the two parties has created a true problem. You know, I've been a Republican since a very, very long time, well over 50 years. And I believe in big government sucks. I believe in all of the tenets of the Republican Party, most all of them. And the Democrats, to me, are people who give stuff away. Free education, free health care. It's a right. Well, guess what? At this Thanksgiving Day, you have to stop and think about the fact that every right has a corresponding duty. These rights aren't free. None of them are free. You have a duty. You have a responsibility and an obligation to this country that supplies these so-called rights, these birthrights. You have a responsibility and an obligation to do the right duty for each and every one of these rights. Education, health care, freedom, employment, strong economy. You have a duty. So while the Democrats just absolutely fail to talk about the duty that these rights present, they just want to give stuff away. Yeah, man, if you're born in this country, you have a right to complete and total free health care. If you are born in this country, you have a right and a complete freedom to have all the education you possibly want without any cost. But there's more than cost involved with these implications. There's a duty, and everybody should be thankful for the opportunities they have and come out of Thanksgiving with a willingness to perform the duty necessary to make these rights all part of America.
You're right, Larkin. You are 1,000,000% right, and I believe that what's happening in some of the states and will happen in the next national election is, I don't think the American people are going to be so easily hoodwinked anymore. They're just not going to listen to give all this stuff free, 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 and all this stuff. You know, Sherman McLeod, who you introduced to us, Larkin, has been doing a tremendous amount of work. He has helped people from welfare to jobs through his six-month training program. But the problem is there's simply not enough of these programs out there. Sherman is a person that government should be highlighting, saying, this is the man we need to push. Look at Mark Andel and say, this is a man we have to push. Look at the Jobs Alliance. Look at everyone, American Workers Radio. No one's doing that because we take jobs away from government bureaucrats as things get better. Do you think Sherman McLeod, you remember him well, Larkin, he was on this broadcast. He did and does unbelievable work taking people from a welfare program, disadvantaged people, you know, that were homeless and everything else, and putting them back into service to America, to themselves, to earning a living after 6 months in his program. The government should be highlighting him day and night, but you don't hear a word about him.
I have I met an acquaintance the other day, a young man who teaches workforce preparedness at St. John's County College. And it has now been recognized in Florida that not only is it important to have workforce preparation and to have all of all of your support for educating people to do jobs, the really great thing is that the St. John's program, and you'll meet Mr. Jones, and we'll have him on as a guest we talked about in the early December. And he is a Sherman. There's no question he's a Sherman, but he's a teacher, a faculty member at the university. And the thing is, he's teaching them. He's giving them a college degree, not a GED. I mean, a high school degree, not a GED, a college degree. And it's all part of making them well-rounded citizens and getting them to understand not only do they need to learn some skills on the open market, but they also have to learn how to be American citizens and understand the responsibility to vote and to pay taxes and to participate in government and to exercise that duty that every citizen has to make government work and work better.
And as I said before, Larkin, you are absolutely correct. And we need to promote more programs like Sherman and his, it was PTT.education. It's PTT.education. This is a man who's taken in thousands of people, taken them from welfare and unfortunate situations and put them back into work. Unfortunately, we need more of these institutions. When we say we have 6 million jobs in America that can't be filled by present day people, why is that? That means that our high schools failed them. They were not put into technology and trade programs. You know, if you're going to have all these industries return to America, you're going to need a well-rounded group of employees. Employers are looking for the cream of the crop, not someone they're going to train for 2 weeks and then they have to go because they're not into it. If they go to a program like Sherman McLeod and the PTT program, they're going to get someone who's already been certified 6 months on the job. This is the difference. And no matter if it's a veteran, it's a high school dropout, whatever, we have to start looking out for Americans first. You know, President Trump, I mean, if he was, he doesn't have to be a Democrat or a Republican. He has to be for America first. And I believe going around into the various communities, all sorts of events that I attend, the people want to hear what the next president of the United States is going to do for the United States, period. And all these people that are involved in all these, you know, special programs and all, I think it's time for them to get together and talk turkey. What are we going to do for the United States of America first? How about our youth? How about our youth that is needed to be in the job situation? Employment opportunities have to be expanded. Henry told me today, we were talking earlier, he said that they do offer programs in the high school where his son goes, but they have to be elective. That every one of those programs should be mandated. You take a year of balancing your checkbook. You take a year of computer training. You take a year of research and development. This is where we are lacking in America. Schools are places where they're just spending time, but there's not enough at the end when it's time for graduation. Curtis, what do you think?
Well, I say amen and hallelujah to everything you're saying and everything I'm hearing here. Interesting thing that Larkin said when he said, if for every right comes a responsibility. And if we all have a right to as much health care as we want, we have a duty and a responsibility, and the right to education, as much education as we can possibly cram into our little heads or cram ourselves into as many classrooms as possible. We have a duty and responsibility. I think, Larkin, you were being a little facetious. We don't have such rights. We don't have a right to all the health care possible and all the education. And if we do have such a right, it's only because we earn it somehow. But I, what I would say is right now they're trying to give away all these goodies, the Democrats and certain people on the Democratic side of the column are trying to tell everybody, you have a right to all the health care, you have a right to all the education. And what they're going to end up doing, though, were this to come to pass, they would then catch up with the other side of the equation. And you would hear, after it's instituted and we're all guaranteed health care, though they never tell you of what quality it is, and they never tell you what quality the education is that we're all going to get for free, then you would then see the government, the all-powerful government and provider of all these good things, and I say good in a facetious manner, start telling us what our responsibility is. So then they would tell us, this is what you must eat, and this is what you can't eat, and this is what you can't do because it would endanger your health.
And we're going to tell you everything you can do all day long, because since we're giving you health care and since we're going to pay for that broken bone, we're going to tell you you have to have a glass enclosed ladder with an escalator on it. And you can't change the light bulb in your house unless you use one of those, because you might fall off another ladder and then we're going to have to pay. And you can't drink a 16-ounce
big gulp
because we're going to have to pay for your diabetes treatment. And you can't smoke a cigar because we're going to provide you the lung cancer treatment, if there is a bed available, of course, in which case, if there isn't, we'll provide the morphine to kill you. And with the education, one of the Democrats, I believe it was Kirsten Gillibrand, who is really incoherent and just, but today's incoherence is tomorrow's Democratic Party platform. Remember that. So she was saying that she will give free college to everybody if they do 1 year of public service. And you kind of hear this floating around now and then. It's always floated. And that got me thinking, well, who's going to get to choose where you serve? We'll give you college, but then we're going to tell you where you're going to work. We're going to tell you what you're going to do with your life. As somebody once said, the difference between our country and other countries is here in America, they ask you what you want to be when you grow up. In other countries, like China or the Soviet Union or someplace where they start giving you free education, they don't ask you what you want to be. They tell you what you're going to do.
What you're going to do.
Exactly.
You know, guys, I hate to say it, this was a great hour of power. We encouraged people, and I hope that everyone listening and that will listen on the internet in later in today or the next few days will spread the word about the Buy American Made campaign, our radio program. And I'd like to take this opportunity to remind all of you to check out Mark Andel, who is really an unbelievable man in this movement. Go to the madeinamericastore.com and you'll be guaranteed that 100% of whatever you buy will be a great gift for the holidays, and it will guaranteed to be 100% made in the USA. Well, I'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of all of us in the Blihash family to say thank you. God bless. Happy Thanksgiving to Larkin Conley and family, Rich Logis and family, Mark Andel and family, Curtis Ellis and family, our engineer and family, Henry Chaplinsky. Thank you for helping us once again to make this show a common sense show. We certainly appreciate what all of you are doing for this movement. Without all of you, it would not be very easy. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I want to take this opportunity to thank you. Kindly spread the word. We will have a copy of today's broadcast up on the internet. It speaks about common sense. Spread that good feeling with others, because this is what will make America great again. God bless. Happy Thanksgiving.